Hey, Coach Fitz, Trevor Fitz hopping on with us, giving some insight on the squad, man. Good stuff. And hey, off to a 7-1 start and handling business. Got the Kennesaw State coming, conference play and all that. So it'll be a lot of fun, man. I'm definitely getting up there to a home game, get to the new park and check that out. And
it's nothing like a, especially like a Saturday afternoon watching baseball. It's hard to beat that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we got shifted, hit a little bit of basketball. AG's not here with us, but we got, speaking of Alabama, Kentucky beat the Tide Saturday and then kept it going. I guess Mississippi State, again, we talked about that with Trevor, his alma mater. But maybe they turned the corner, Jay. We finally, seeing a little up and down, this and that, but to handle Alabama the way they did, and then, Mississippi State, who has beat Auburn, beat Tennessee down there, and then you get down 13 and then come back.
When I was watching that game, I haven't been able to catch many games live this year, but I caught that one. I was able to catch it. And Mississippi State played a winning basketball game. They felt like, they were hitting shots. They were hitting tough shots down the stretch. They played a solid basketball game. They probably felt like they should have won. However, Kentucky is so talented. They just make so many plays. They can score from so many, so many people on the court can score. They got a lot of guys who can handle the ball on the floor. They just make a lot of plays, man. I just think, with that team, if they could – and I don't even want to say – obviously there were points in the game where defense should have been better. Defense could have been better. But, man, Mississippi State was just hitting contested shots. They were making great plays. They played great on offense. I mean, they did. It seemed like every team Kentucky plays tend to shoot well from the field. So hopefully that wear off at some point. But it's only making them better because everybody's not going to be able to shoot that well. Everybody's not going to be able to play and just have a red hot hand every time out. I like the way they played, man. Obviously, Reed Shepherd, stood out, with his clutch play down the stretch. And it's really not his scoring that makes him so good. It's everything else, man. It's the steals. It's the, opportune loose balls he'll get. It's the rebounds he'll get. It's the passes that he makes. He sees the floor really well. He can handle the ball, under pressure to be a freshman. He just operates. He does what I tell quarterbacks all the time. He manages the operation and he distributes the ball, right? Those are two jobs that you must be able to do in basketball and football if you're on the court, and if you're handling the ball all the time in those sports. So he does that extremely well, and he plays really he's really opportunistic when the ball is in harm's way on defense. So he does a lot of stuff that helps the team win. There must be something. I don't know what's going on with Dillingham. He didn't play as much as I thought he should play. But when he does, when he has the ball in his hand, he's electric. But I just think all in all, Mississippi State came out at home and played a really good game. Kentucky was able to handle the storm and went down the stretch. You can always bank those wins down the stretch once you start encroaching on March. You start encroaching on, mid to late February and really March, and you win tough games away down the stretch, that's a game that can propel you to where you want to go with just the confidence and mentality of your team. So I really, like I said, this team is extremely fun to watch, frustrating sometimes on defense. However, but, they just have so many guys who can put the ball in the basket. So many guys who I think are going to be really good pros, in the future. And it's really exciting to watch, man. I think Kentucky fans got to really kind of take it in, man, because you don't a lot of college programs wish they had half of what Kentucky has right now. A great team, I think, they're still going to continue to grow, still young. So if they continue to have a growth mindset, into, you know, early March, and then, you know, hopefully mid and late March, and hopefully playing that first week in April. You know, I think that'll be big.
And I was listening to was it Chin Coleman, the assistant coach. He came on a day or 2 days before, you know, kind of previewing his little press conference, previewing Mississippi State. You know, he kept saying this is going to be a completely different game than Alabama because, you know, Mississippi State actually plays defense and they're physical, and it's not going to be, you know, just a track meet up and down like the Alabama game was. It's going to be a lot harder. And it was, you know, they came out and punched Kentucky in the mouth, and Tolu Smith was killing the seven footers. You know, he was, you know, just a couple little shoulders and poop, you know, carving out space and getting easy buckets, you know, early. And before you know it, it's 14-3. Mississippi State, you know, like you said, they played a winning game and they jumped on them. But he said, and, you know, we kind of, it was critical of Cal for not doing his stuff, you know, and not doing his obligations. But I don't know, maybe he just articulated it a little bit different. He's, because I think I try to be realistic and not, you know, super optimistic or, you know, a home super, you know, try to be realistic and objective as possible, even though I'm right. a fan. And I was to the point where like, yo, man, we like 22 games in and we ain't guarding nobody and this ain't getting no better. And so I'm like, okay, now, yeah, you know, I'm not a practice, but I'm like, we scoring 95 points and losing. And, you know, we can't stop nobody. You know, you're losing, giving up all these points and wasting all this offense because you're not stopping anybody. It didn't look like they were ever going to tighten it up even a little bit defensively. But he said something to the effect of, we as coaches still know where we need to grow. We were patient in those areas, and now we're starting to see that growth. And just as I said, that's you know, they can say what they want or tell us, or not tell us what they want. But as a fan, that was good to hear.
Yeah.
They see the weaknesses and the fact that they were patient and knew they could still grow there. Even after 20 plus games that we've seen on TV, we're not at practice, but we keep seeing them get lit up on the pick and rolls. We keep seeing them get lit up from the 3-point line. Keep wondering like, yo. And so for them to say that there's still growth and they're patient enough to allow that growth to take place, I'm like, well, that's, you know, he didn't have to say that, but he was pretty much like an open book, seemed to me, you know, straight up honest, wasn't trying to just give the coach speak and play the media games and where I'm not telling you something, but it was cool to the way he phrased that, you know,
right.
That, so that lets you know that, baby, there probably still is some room to grow. I'm not saying they're going to, you know, start holding teams to 55 points a game. They're not built like that, but they know that they can still reach levels defensively. So that was good to hear.
Yeah, and like I said, we're fans from the outside looking in, so we don't really know what goes on behind those walls.
Mm-hmm.
And we always know that there's always something going on behind the walls because, like you said, Dillingham playing such low minutes, you know, relative to where we think that he should play. And, you know, coaches are coaches, man. They're not going to tell you everything. Sometimes every now and then they'll just go ahead and say some things to get people off their back. However, you know, there's always I never believe on any team that there's not room for growth. I just got to listen to Dave Canales just got hired on with the Panthers. Is that his name? He was just saying how with an NFL team with grown men in their late 20s and 30s and mid 30s, how they continued to grow throughout the season. And they went from averaging 76 yards rushing to 96 yards rushing, you know, in the NFL. These are guys who've been playing this sport for a long time. And they were still trying to figure out what their guys were good at late in the season. And these are pros. These are really smart, really intelligent players and coaches. But for him to say that just lets you know that if you have a growth mindset as a player or a coach, there's always room for improvement. There's always more juice that you can squeeze out of that orange. And, you know, I think if you have that mindset, especially with 18-year-old young men that they have on that team, and they have a lot of them, you're always going to – you can see quantum leaps between now and NCAA tournament time. I really believe that. You know, if they really wanted to make those leaps, they could. They have the team athletically. They have this, you know, in my opinion, I think, I don't, like I said, I think Cal is a good coach. Is he a better recruiter than coach? Maybe. But he's still a good coach. He's still a veteran coach who's been doing this longer and probably know more basketball than we'll ever know. Mm-hmm. So they still have a lot of potential, even though people don't want to hear about potential in early March or late February. But there's always room for growth. Like, they could be in the SEC tournament and hit a new level that we haven't seen. So that can very well happen, especially with a team like this. And look, it don't take much for them to start playing a little bit better defense and all of their ball players on offense start to really gain confidence at the right time. And they all start to, you know, kind of synergize. When that happened, you can ask any coach in America, they would not want to see Kentucky, you know, in a basket. They won't want to see it because they can score from anywhere. They're playing better defense. They got ball handlers. They got passers. They got distributors. They got rebounders. They got size, right? So it could be one of those things where, you know, you can start seeing teams that they struggle with early in the year or earlier. And, you know, some of those teams get blown out down the stretch by Kentucky. If Kentucky really hit that stride like they – like, we know that they can, you know, based on the talent level. So, you know, I'm never in the dumps about a team not performing to where they want to go, if there's, especially with 18-year-old young men and the season is still going. So I think he knows what he's doing. You know, he's veteran, he's seasoned. So he's able to slow process this thing. He's able to make sure this thing kind of slow cook. Just like that Boston butt we was talking about, it takes time for that thing to get tender, man. It takes time. And, you know, especially when you got 18-year-old freshmen who've been playing ball a certain way all their lives and been playing AAU ball, not playing defense, you know, not really seeing the floor like they should. And you're trying to get them to play high-level basketball. So, you know, it just takes time, and it's hard to do. He has a very hard job, even though it doesn't seem like that when you look at the ESPN rankings. When you look at the recruiting rankings, it don't seem like Calipari has a tough job. His job is extremely tough because he's dealing with very egotistical young men who've been always told how good they are. It's called a spade, and he's dealing with guys who need to tighten up when it comes to their basketball IQ and their willingness to play as a team, because that's not the case in this society anymore with youth kids. So it's a tough job, you know what I'm saying? They have a good record. They're trending in the right direction with the win Saturday and the win yesterday down the stretch against a team that's playing well, Mississippi State, against a team that's physical, against a team that's hitting shots down the stretch, and you're able to hold on and get a win. You can't discount that. That's good.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And like you said, with go back to the Alabama game, Justin Edwards, you know, and every freshman is different. You know, Anthony Davis comes in and lights it up from day one. Everybody doesn't do that. They all click. It all clicks for them at different levels, different times. People were fussing about Edwards. Why is he still starting? Why is he still getting these minutes? Why is he still playing? And why is he still – and Cal kept saying, I'm sticking with him. I'm going to stick with him. Turns out he was going through some mental health struggles. You could see his confidence. You could see him on the court just kind of – like overwhelmed, like I know I can do this, but why am I not doing like I think I should? And then he blows up and scores 28 against Alabama. Doesn't miss a shot from the field. I think he hit all four of his threes, hit 10 for 10 from the field. I think he only missed one free throw. He's like 4 or 5 from the line, 28 points, career high. And then now everybody's like, oh, well, we kind of see why he stuck with him now. So like you said, long game, he slow processed it, and you know, he ended up knowing what he was doing. So
yeah, man, that's why I say, like, because I was watching the game, you know, I don't watch TV much, so I would go on YouTube and look at people streaming games illegally. But I was watching the game, this guy was streaming it, and you can see the comments, man, on the side. They're showing all the comments, and people are so negative. Like, you know, people are saying, you know, take this guy out. Why is this guy playing? I'm like, look, we don't, like, we're not at practice. Like, we don't see everything, you know. And maybe this subject is kind of near and dear to me because I'm a coach, And we always got parents on Friday night saying that their kids should have caught more balls, or their kids should have ran the ball more, or their kids should, or we should have called this on third and long. But we're not at practice. We don't know what type of health issues this guy's going through, mental health issues. We don't know what's going on at home with some of these kids. We don't know if some of these kids are struggling in school and they can't, you know, we don't know. Like, we don't know. So with that being said, some people should just kind of shut up, man, because, like, we don't know what's going on. Like, so it's probably a reason why Dylan Ham isn't playing as many minutes as some people think they may play. That's why you don't see me tweeting about it or making a big deal about it, because there's obviously something going on there. Whatever it is, whether he refused to play defense the way Coach Kyle wanted to play defense or whatever it is, it's a reason, right? So obviously he's a prolific scorer. He's a potential lottery pick. But it doesn't matter, because there's something going on that we don't know about. You know, it's the reason why he's not on the court. So I just think, you know, there's always a rhyme or reason to why a coach does what he does, especially a coach who's won a national championship, who's been in national championship games, who's you know, made deep runs in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I just think, you know, like I said, just kind of if more fans can kind of take the view like you take, right, it'd be just objective. And kind of look big picture, look, okay, and kind of consider all angles. You know, why is this or why is that or what's going on with this? I wonder, instead of just, you know, being negative towards the kids or the coaches because we just don't know. Like, now, one thing I can say, you know, Cal skipping out on the press conferences after a loss, I get that, you know. There's a pattern to it now. But other than that, you know, when it comes to criticizing his coaching ability for some stuff or criticizing the players, I just think we don't really know the whole story. So it's kind of unfair for us to do that.
To dissect it and microanalyze it when you don't have the whole picture.
I get it. Fans for a reason. Like, they are who they are for a reason. Like, they have a lot of passion for their school. So I'm not absolved from this. I've done it before, but, you know, it's just, you know, there are those real, you know, kind of intuitive fans that say, hey, maybe there's something going on. You know, maybe, you know, we can't see something, you know, that may happen, but maybe happening behind the scenes is the reason why we're not playing good defense, or the reason why this guy's not getting as many minutes, or the reason why. So we just, you know, like I said, we just don't know. But I do think that, like I said, if this team kind of gets going, really get going, you know, it can get real spooky for a lot of people because, you know, this team, I just, you know, you just turn on the film or you just turn on the game and you just see so much potential of where they can go, man, you know, because anybody on any given night can give you 28 points. You know, anybody on any given night can really just take their game to the next level and prove why they are a potential draft pick. So it's fun to watch. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited to watch, you know, watch this thing unfold.
Yeah, definitely. So season's winding down. March is coming. You got Arkansas this weekend, and then Vanderbilt next Wednesday, and then Tennessee on the road, and then it's SEC tournament time. So this season is zipped on by, man.
It has, man. It's zipped by. I can't wait to see that Tennessee game. You know, I can't wait to see that. I know everybody's gonna be. That's gonna be a good test to see. Okay, you know, how far they come really. A team that beat you early in the year, a team that's mature too. Tennessee is a big, mature team, who's his name? Josiah Jordan James. I've been watching him in high school years ago. I've been watching, it was like 2018 or 19. I've been watching him in high school. It was like, man, this dude, and, you know, they got older guys, you know, who've been around. So those teams are always tough to beat, you know, and we're going to see kind of if we're going to scratch and see what happens.
Yeah. Flip it to football real quick, and we had a comment on YouTube. I didn't see it at the time, but it's from a few days ago. So I said, and I think I saw it last week, but you weren't on. I was like, well, once we get you back on, I'm going to ask. So this person put going back to the offense, because we know we talked about Butch Hamden coming in and Liam Cohen leaving. But this question was, how much was Liam's offense college friendly? Was it too complicated that it didn't play to Devin Leary's strength? So I was like, well, I'll say that and get Jalen's thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it was college friendly. From the outside looking in, again, I'm not in the building. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I got an idea based on, you know, who he's been with in the past and just the past. But it's college friendly. It's very versatile. It's very pliable. You know, there's a lot that you can do in that offense, just like most offenses. However, you know, obviously, you know, there are reports out there and there's rumors out there that there was some type of, you know, disconnect somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's Leary struggled learning it, is it too complicated to learn? You know, somewhere along those lines, there was something, you know, and it's probably a little bit of both if we had to guess. Mm-hmm. However, I do think, you know, Butch Hamden, there's a lot of stuff that I like that he does. He's a lot more quote unquote collegey or college friendly with his offensive staff. No doubt. Okay. From what I've seen, you know, especially just looking at last year, he's a lot more college friendly, a lot more, you know, different paces, you know, being able to huddle, play with some tempo, having some triple option type theories or concepts. You know, a lot of movement passing, you know, running the quarterback some, which we talked about on here, which I think is going to be big. You know, being able to use different personnel, just like most people can do nowadays. So he, I think, is a good gumbo of stuff that they can use. Now, obviously, the elephant in the room is the head coach ultimately make decisions. So is that offense going to look a lot different? If I had to guess, it will look different. I don't know how much, we'll see. But that thing will look a little bit different, because there's some stuff that you see a trend with coordinators that coach on the Stoops. So we'll see, you know. I think it'd be a good deal. But to answer that question, though, it's this offense coming up will be a lot more quote-unquote college-friendly.
That'll work, so – hope they're watching on YouTube and see the answer. Sorry that it was delayed, but we wasn't going to disregard it. So we got to it this evening. Before we finished up, though, we'll talk about the autograph app. I meant to mention that at the beginning, but we've been talking about it the past few episodes. Where you want to get rewarded for listening to our show with the team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. Autograph Fandom app gives you access to all your favorite Kentucky content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it for free using today's referral code Believe Kentucky, BLEAV Kentucky. The link and code are also in our podcast description, so check out the app. Get your points. They got the leaderboard. Every podcast you listen to, every article you read, you can move up in the rankings and get a chance to win all the rewards and merch and everything they're giving away. So it's definitely a cool app. Check out that Autograph app. Jay, man, had a lot of fun talking baseball with Trevor Fitz, your fellow Alabamian. And y'all got that in. And high schools and players y'all knew and connections and the small world and all that good stuff. And looking forward to seeing Kentucky baseball off to a good start, 7-1. Hope they get to the regionals again this year and stack it and build on what they did last year and get to where, you know, there's stuff in the SEC, but they're trying to pull their way up and establish themselves with the heavy hitters like the LSUs and the South Carolinas and the Vanderbilts and all them powers that's in the league every year, you know, trying to close the gap and be in that mix every single year. So it was cool to talk with Trevor, Director of Player Development for Kentucky Baseball. We got some basketball in, got that football question caught up, and we'll see what Kentucky does this weekend with Arkansas. And, you know, keep an eye on the baseball and the softball because they're doing their thing as well. Get AG back on the ground safe from his flight delay and everything, and be back next Wednesday to do this thing again, man.
Yeah, man. Let's get it. I'm sure we'll have some good stuff to talk about, you know, next week, especially with the basketball, obviously. But, you know, just more information coming out about football. That spring ball approaches, too. So, you know, we're not very far away, you know, from spring ball now. So I can't wait for that because I'm sure, you know, hopefully we get some more information on what's going on. You know, so, yeah, it'll be cool, man.
Absolutely. Believe.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. We're live on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. So be sure to subscribe and follow and rate. Give us some star ratings and word of mouth. Tell folks to check out the podcast. We enjoy bringing it to you. Hope y'all enjoy hearing it. For Jalen Whitlow, my name is Vinny Hardy. Thanks again to Trevor Fitz for another episode of Believe in Kentucky, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network. We're out of here. We'll catch everybody next week.